This is Girl with a Podcast. My life basically revolves around watching Bravo and drinking alcohol. I'm the modern day Bridget Jones if she was Jewish and not annoying. No, seriously, if sitting on your couch was an Olympic sport, I would win gold.
Hello, everyone.
No, you don't start. No, this is my podcast.
So why'd you call on me?
Because you were on your phone.
Oh, I'm paying attention.
Okay. Blooper. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Girl with a Podcast. I am your loyal, not so loyal because I took a couple weeks off, but your somewhat loyal host, Claudia Ashray, Girl with No Job. Very exciting episode like number 10, but who's counting? Not me, because I keep forgetting to do it. So we are here with permanent co-host, permanent sister, optional best friend, Jackie O.
Woo!
Snaps in studio. Okay, Jackie O is here for a multitude of reasons. The first is that I feel like this is the official announcement, right?
Yes, we have very exciting news.
This special project we've been working on for about an hour.
Special, not so secret project.
Not so secret project anymore. We have launched our morning show. It's called The Morning Breath. And it's in collaboration with AOL. We film it here in New York at the AOL studios. It's really good. We did our first one today. The reaction, so far the feedback has been overwhelmingly
positive. The feedback has been great. And our morning show is actually revolutionary, if I can pronounce that word, because it is live streamed on Facebook and Instagram only because we are so new media. We can't be bothered with old school.
No. So if you want to tune in, you tune in on our Facebook page and our Instagram page at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, which is 7:30 Pacific time.
On weekdays.
On weekdays. Because you know we don't wake up at 10:30 on the weekends.
Yeah.
Our Facebook page is www.facebook.com/themorningbreath.
And our Instagram page is at themorning.breath.
So that's going to be awesome. And we're going to be taking your questions. And we're going to be doing fun segments. We're going to have on some good guests. So that's the official announcement.
Yeah. And so just so you know what we're doing when we're talking about the morning breath. Like, we're not just talking about our morning breath.
Even though a lot of the times it's relevant.
We're talking about the morning breath, capital T, capital M, capital B.
Right. Like, we just want you guys to wake up and smell the morning breath. That's our slogan. Okay. That's part one of the reasons why Jackie's here. Part two is we have launched an investigation.
Yeah. And we're going to do most of our investigative work during this podcast without using any sources.
No.
And just a bunch of speculation.
So this is like a disclaimer usually before all my episodes of my podcast, but nothing here, it's all subject to be not true, you know? Yeah.
Basically, nothing that we say, we actually have proof.
It's not validated at all.
It's just a feeling.
Right. Which, by the way, can be very strong.
Yeah, no, your intuition, you should always trust.
I completely agree. Didn't you learn that like in history class?
Yeah, actually.
Primary source.
No, I learned that in law school.
Oh, right.
Intuition is 9/10 of the law.
Okay. So we're launching an investigation on off-season Bachelor Nation. So basically, we're in between seasons right now. The Bachelor just ended.
Yeah.
And Bachelorette comes back in May. So it's like this weird, awkward time where they're filming The Bachelorette. There are like a lot of murmurs, things, whispers about Bachelor in Paradise, but nothing's actually happening. The cast from this season is just kind of assimilating into Bachelor culture. And it can be a very, you know, weird time.
Yeah, everyone's sort of like gauging interest for Bachelor in Paradise picks. Meanwhile, the girls from this season who have the highest amount of followers are going on influencer trips with Bachelor veterans.
Becca Tilly.
And everyone is just hanging out, and then they're all going to go to Paradise and pretend like they're meeting for the first time.
Right.
Like, how are we going to navigate this new Bachelor ecosystem?
Right. So there are a few emerging couples that I've heard about. I've heard about Robbie Hayes and Sarah Vendel, who is without a doubt the most annoying girl to ever come out of Bachelor Nation, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah. Because they have some really annoying people. I think like the more annoying, the better you are for TV.
Right.
She is next level.
So that's one of the couples.
Okay, yeah. I guess this is
another couple I've heard about is Raven and like 100 people, but Raven and Luke.
No. What about Luke and Danielle L?
Right, everyone, no, there's a lot okay, of
by the way, every news source that reports on Bachelor theories is wrong about everything. Like that Elite Daily article that was like, Luke and Danielle L are dating. If you actually read it, he says, she's a cool girl we haven't met yet.
Right. So that's where Elite Daily is probably just as, if not less reliable than we are. And this podcast is aimed to take down Elite Daily.
Also, at least we have like a couple friends in Bachelor Nation who like can tell us what's
up. Yeah, we don't know like if we mentioned this to you, but like we were at Olivia Creed's birthday party over the weekend, which by the way, was really fun.
So fun. She is the sweetest person ever.
She really
ever is.
And I really hope she goes on Paradise.
I hope
she
so
didn't
too.
Confirm nor deny.
No, she didn't. She's open to anything.
Right.
There were also some other Bachelor notables there. I met Izzy for the first time. Had you met her before?
No. And you know what I found out? She's Jewish.
I know. I found that out too. She's going on Birthright.
Good Kind. Is that a Jewish last name?
I guess so.
No, she was really sweet and she looked really cute.
She's so pretty.
Mm-hmm. I was a big fan.
Yeah, I became a fan.
Yeah, so some emerging couples, but none of them have met yet. I don't think any of them have actually met. They all like DM each other on Instagram and like talk, but then they come to Paradise and pretend like they've never met
heard each other. And here is what I have something to say about
guys,
this.
She's getting the receipts. She's going in her back pocket.
I don't even need the receipts because I've been holding on to this for years. All of these couples talk before Paradise, if not see each other, if not hook up before Paradise. And let me take you back to a time where Samantha and mm-hmm. Joe were completely
innocent,
and they were completely vilified for having spoken before going on Paradise. And they were showing text messages as proof of them talking on After Paradise with Chris Harrison.
If people didn't watch Bachelor in Paradise a few seasons ago, give some context.
Bachelor in Paradise season two. Joe from Caitlyn's season went on. He had a little fling with Julia, a single mother who like gets...
Should have been home with her children.
Should have been home with her children. If you want to be treated special like a single mother, then go home and be with your children. So. Otherwise, you're just another contestant in Paradise. He had a thing with Julia, but then was heard saying, I'm here to meet Samantha. Samantha comes the week after Julia gives him his rose and he runs off with Samantha, and everyone is like talking behind their backs about how they were talking online and texting before they
DMing came to on
Paradise
Twitter
and how they're not allowed to do that, blah, blah, blah. Everyone ostracized Joe and Samantha and they were like the devils for having done that. I never ever had a problem with them having spoken before.
She never gave in to the peer pressure.
Everyone goes into Paradise with a list apparently. Mm-hmm. At this point, everyone even hangs out together. Like, there were literally contestants from Nick's season who were hanging out with the girls in New York, the Bachelor girls in New York, before they were even kicked off the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just is what it is. So, like, now it's okay. Like, I want justice for Joe and Samantha. I really, really do. Like, they just got a raw deal.
You should start a petition online.
Justice for Joe and Samantha. Like, I don't forget.
Forgive, but never forget.
I can't even forgive.
Okay, so
because no one's
me,
apologized to me.
Okay, tell me, this is what I'm curious about in the off season, the trips.
Okay, well, that's a whole other thing.
Right now,
Bachelor in Paradise has already started in Fiji at the Shangri-La.
Right. So Shangri-La, yes. Becca is there. JoJo is there. Sarah
Robert
Vendel,
and Jordan are there.
Robert and Jordan.
Sarah Vendel is there with Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
And Raven is there with Whitney.
Whitney, yes. What are they doing there?
By the way,
how are they
otherwise known as Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes. Maybe they're their camera crew.
They're not. I think, I don't know who they're there with. Someone speculated they were there with a bikini line.
Yes.
But they're wearing all different bikinis.
No, but JoJo and Becca were doing a photo shoot for Mochi.
Heavy on the promotion. But Raven was promoting her own shop, Gray Suede, at Shop Gray Suede. They have really cute stuff. She's not paying me to say this, but she does follow me and I'm so obsessed with her. So like, you should definitely check out her store. And Sarah Vendel was promoting her Big Mouth.
Sarah Vendel was promoting, she's on a press tour to win Most Annoying Bitch in America. And so far she's winning. It's really impressive because I literally can't stand her. I actually have an Instagram account called Girl With No Rose that's solely dedicated to taking down Sarah Vendel. I don't know when she got this reputation of being like the super cute, like sweet, like Nick totally fucked her over. Like, I didn't see it that way.
She was such a nobody on her season.
Nobody.
If she wasn't
like
friends
Highland.
With Amanda Stanton, she would have no play.
And I don't think she might not have gotten on the show.
Agreed.
Should we talk about...
And also, Amanda Stanton was promoting a different bikini line. So now it's got me thinking it's not the bikini line.
It might
line.
Be a bikini line conglomerate.
Unless it's just the Shangri-La
Hotel.
In general. Because they were also... The hotel featured on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hong Kong trip.
Oh, so they totally
so
do.
So they're
like,
thirsty for press.
Yeah. Okay, now I have another question for you. Mm-hmm. Should we talk about the music video?
Oh, yes, we should.
So speaking of Sarah Vendel being, we're just trying to, if you like Sarah Vendel and you don't want to hear us badmouth her, this would be a good time to turn off the podcast.
But there's no way anybody feels that strongly about liking her because nobody knows anything about her. She was just on the show. She wore running sneakers on the first night.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah. And then she just like smiled really with a wide mouth.
Right. With a wide mouth. And so she has garnered a pretty decent Instagram following. And a couple weeks ago, she released what can only be described as the most bizarre low budget music video.
No, it was actually pretty high budget considering she wasn't doing anything.
Right. So that's the point. Like, she had a camera crew. She had a hair and makeup artist.
She had a stylist, a set.
They had a hotel room in Santa Barbara.
I think she had wardrobe.
One. Who paid for it? Two, what the fuck was the point? Three, what was she promoting? And four, can she never dance again? Because there's a part of the music video where she, I think the right word is crumps. and it's fucking terrible and it's fucking embarrassing and it's just fucking terrible.
No, I need to know. I need to know who funded this. I feel like it was a George Soros venture.
No, I feel like it was a Robert Graham vamped venture because he puts on really kind of. Sorry, I feel like people don't know who Robert Graham.
Becca's boyfriend who runs Vamped, which is like an influencer marketing thing. And it seems like he actually, unlike everyone else, has a legit job.
Yeah, and that's why he's always on his phone. Like when Becca Tilly, what's frustrating is like Becca Tilly is always Snapchatting her boyfriend on his phone, like to catch him. Like he's trying to make money so he can take you to Fiji. Whereas like every time Jordan and JoJo are in a Snapchat, they're both glued to their phones. When neither of them do anything to garner revenue, they should be put on blast. Why don't they fucking talk to each other? They're on vacation. All they do is get on their phones. Whereas like Robert Graham, he's just trying to make a living and support his family.
Like he has emails to answer.
I'm totally on Robert Graham's side.
Actually, all JoJo does is generate money from her phone and her Snapchat. That's literally QVC, mobile edition.
This is the thing. I, as an influencer myself, totally understand using your social platforms to generate income. It's a great way to make money and it's a great way to like get yourself out there, but you have to break it up. Like you have to be 90% your fun loving self, me and my boyfriend, you know, and 10% Bombay hair and sugar bear hair. You know what I mean? You have to break it up. There has to be a good
and
consistent
the
vibe.
Thing is, we respect the hustle. Like 100%. We understand you have to make money. Like you don't have a job and like now you're a celebrity and you should monetize that for sure. I mean, we're not even celebrities and we figure out a way to make money from this stuff. But the majority of our content is us and that's what you came here for. Like JoJo Fletcher gives me absolutely nothing on Snapchat other than a 15% discount on Bombay hair.
But what's so upsetting is that people go, she has this huge following on Snapchat because right when the show ended, people wanted to see her and Jordan like hanging out. So she has this like really loyal fan base of followers who just want to see like her and her dog and like her and her house and her and Jordan.
Actually, I could live without the dog.
The dog. But she gives us none of that. And I feel like it's almost disrespectful to your followers.
Yeah. And also when she does stray from giving us a discount code, it's just to get a show on HGTV.
No, she is trying. Her and Jordan are trying so hard to get a show on HGTV. And I know why. Because Jillian Harris, who was a bachelorette from years ago, she just got the job as HGTV Canada's interior decorator for Love It or List It Too. So I think she thinks it's an attainable dream, which it is. But like,
it is.
Stop fucking reupholstering a chair on Snapchat. That's not what it's for.
It's a good path for her to go down. But I don't think reupholstering a chair on Snapchat is going to get the eye of the HGTV execs.
They're flipping a house now.
Great.
And I know this is a segue and I don't want to go off topic, but I just feel like this would be an amazing time to bring up the investigation, the secondary investigation I've lost against Express Smile Atlanta, Kim Zolciak and Brielle Zolciak. Because since in launching my investigation, I have learned so much. Basically, anyone who watches Don't Be Tardy, you follow Kim and Brielle on Snapchat and Instagram, and they're always promoting this fucking teeth whitening brand. But like almost to the point where it's like, you can't be promoting it that much because they get paid every time they promote it. Whereas this company can be generating that much inventory and that much revenue that they pay Kim and Brielle like $5,000 each every day. It's literally every day. So I had a thought one day that I was like, oh my God, these bitches totally own it. They don't pose for it. They own it. And I've been investigating it a little bit more. And Brielle tweeted out a picture. It was a picture of her computer of someone's order. Like it was a screenshot. So like, why would she have access to the back end of a company if she didn't know it? So that further validated my claims. But then once I posted about this on my website, girlwithnojob.com, you can read all about it there. A follower of mine reached out with something very interesting. Her name is Megan Atkins. And she, basically found out that the Georgia Secretary of State website lists someone named Willie Greggy III as the organizer of the business, which means Kim and Brielle or Croy don't own it. Then she told me that his wife, Ramona, not to be confused with, you know, the Ramona we love. What's her last name?
Singer.
His wife is the head honcho. Ramona's in charge of Express Mile Atlanta. And now there is a brunch in Atlanta, an entrepreneurial, women entrepreneurial brunch. And Ramona is the head speaker. And you want to know what's the weirdest part about it? It's at an undisclosed location. So I've urged some of my followers to go and they're going to get back to me on maybe during the Q&A portion, asking some questions about Kim. And I also, someone else told me that Kim and Brielle don't own it, but they work very closely with the owners. And every time they post about it, they use the code and they get a commission off of the code. So someone said that they make between 100, ready for this, Jackie? Mm-hmm. 100 and 900 grand every time they post. Someone said that. I don't know if that's true.
I don't believe that.
Someone emailed that to me, but I don't know how she knows that. I have no clue.
Does she have the same legitimate source of proof that we always have?
If she does, then it's probably quite unreliable. I got off the path back to Jordan JoJo, vamped everything. Yeah. So Vamped is like this, what would you call it? An influencer marketing agency that Robert Graham owns. And he like hires, contracts bachelor people who become these sort of blogger influencer types and gives them business. I don't really get how they make money just on going on a trip, but.
No, but I think they, I mean, we're here like in the heart of New York City talking about the Shangri-La in Fiji.
That's so
true. By the way, if I ever deemed to plan a trip to Fiji, I would only know to stay at the Shangri-La.
Yeah, because if it's good enough for Jordan, JoJo, Becca Tilly, and Robert Graham, it's definitely good enough for me.
If it's good enough for Raven, it's good enough for me.
She's her body.
But if it's good enough for Sarah Vendel, I can't stay there.
I don't think we can stay there. Raven's body, I was very surprised at. She's so tall.
She's so tall.
Amazing body. She's going to do so well on Paradise.
No, I'm so excited for her. Also, her hair dries like really pretty naturally, so she'll be fine.
Yeah, and she did like a cute braid situation.
Yeah, Whitney did it for her. And obviously, Whitney's going to be there because all she is Paradise.
No, apparently, Whitney is very pretty.
You didn't know that?
I mean, I didn't pick her up from Nick's season as like one of the prettiest girls. Like, oh. I picked up JoJo from Ben's season as like one of the most gorgeous girls.
No, I picked up Whitney from Nick's season as one of the prettiest girls. She'll stay. Her prettiness will get her as far as it possibly can.
Right.
And then she'll go.
But like,
it got her pretty far on a 2-on-1 with Danielle L, who had major staying power.
But like, tell me, who is Whitney and who is Astrid?
Okay. They are like the same person, except I have like the easiest time telling them apart.
You do?
Yeah. I know exactly who they are.
No, I have no clue.
I just know.
All right. Well, not all of us.
I just was paying attention to them since day one because I thought they were pretty.
Yeah. I don't think Astrid's so pretty. She just has enormous boobs.
No, but and also she just like stands next to Whitney and they look alike. So you think they're both pretty.
Yeah. They're pretty by association.
Totally.
That's why I hang out with skinny people.
Oh my God. Alexis Waters did the funniest thing. Did you see her Instagram story?
No.
She went through like a tabloid magazine and started drawing like dicks on Rachel's Bachelorette
stuff. Funny.
And it was really funny.
She is going to be MVP of Bachelor in Paradise.
I know, but I'm a little worried about her because the hype is so strong.
Yeah, and it's hard to live up to that type of hype.
Yeah, but she seems really cool. I'm sure
she'll
be okay.
But she's a really unique mix of like very funny, big personality, but also really pretty. Like people don't even talk about it, that she's so pretty. And she's lost since her season, she's lost like 15 pounds because I think she's going on Paradise.
Yeah.
And she looks so good.
Oh my God.
Not that you need to lose weight to look good. I am by no means promoting an unhealthy lifestyle.
No, but I'm sure that Paradise diet is real.
Is real. You could tell a lot of people, you can infer from Instagram who's going on because those people have lost weight.
Also, like Chris Soules literally would go on Paradise except for the fact that he feels chubby.
Yeah.
I read an interview with him and like all signs pointed to I would go if I don't have to take my shirt off. Actually, he said that explicitly. So that is a primary source.
That is so upsetting for him.
I need him to go.
I need him to go. He would bring a lot of heart and soul to a show that lacks heart and soul.
Exactly. And as he said in this extensive interview that I read, he said that he's a funny, goofy guy and being the Bachelor, like, he had to be so serious and he wasn't good at it. And that Paradise is more like suited to his personality.
You know who I feel like also struggled with something similar to that is Caitlyn.
Yeah.
She's like such a fun loving and she knew from like the first 2 days that it was over. Sean won the second he walked out.
By the way, it was over when the guys had to pick her.
Right.
Like you just start behind.
Right, like there were like 11 guys there who didn't even want her.
Like she has to, the entire season, have to prove to them that she deserves to be the Bachelorette.
Yeah, I don't know. Like that season for me was just silly because it was so clear the whole time that her and Sean were just like madly in love and I would have been heartbroken. Like I think I would have been more heartbroken than she would have been if they didn't end up together.
Here's the thing though. It might have worked out even better if Britt had been the Bachelorette because Sean B would have walked off and then they could have just been together without all the drama.
Yeah, but now Caitlyn, we get to all experience Caitlyn's amazingness.
Yeah, but we would have anyway. And also, Britt seems like really happy and really normal with her boyfriend. So I'm happy for her.
I don't know. I wasn't a big Britt fan, but what I did just read an article in Business Insider where they said Caitlyn is releasing an album.
I saw that album. Too. Wait, I want to talk about Britt for a second because everybody always said she was there for the wrong reason. She was fake, not genuine, blah, blah, blah. She is like the only person in the last 3 years who, after she went on the show, actually left us all alone and didn't start selling sugar bear hair and being thirst monster.
That's very true.
So props to Britt for not being a thirst monster.
Also, props to Whitney Bischoff. How do you pronounce her last name?
Bischoff?
She's so normal. She's engaged.
She's a doctor.
She has a flourishing egg freezing business, which we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Carly Waddell, Andy Dorfman, and Caitlin Bristow all took a trip to Chicago for Whitney Bischoff's egg freezing company. And I guess they did it for free. Explain to me why Andy Dorfman's freezing her eggs.
Or because Carly. She doesn't have a boyfriend and she's like.
But Carly's engaged.
But you, I don't know. It must be nice to like not have that pressure of a clock ticking.
I guess.
Also, Carly did it last year before she met Evan.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
I saw that on her Instagram. So that would make sense. Also, I think that those three girls are a bit older than you think.
Yeah, maybe. Old, no, but
like
I know
the
you
new
mean.
The Bachelor girls from like this season are like 24, 25. Caitlin, we know, is 31. I think Carly Waddell is maybe 30.
That would make sense then.
Yeah.
It's just so confusing because
they're in like the 30 zone.
Right. Like ever since Ben Higgins was the Bachelor, he was 24. Everyone on the show is so young. Mm-hmm. But Nick is like 34.
Nick is 45.
Yeah, he's so old.
He's
so now
so old.
The girls literally range. Corinne is 22.
Corinne is, I can't even.
And there are girls that literally range 15 years. I have no clue how old anyone is in Bachelor
Nation. No, and it's like you think that the girls who are on Ben's season are going to be older than the girls who are on Nick's season because mm-hmm. it's like,
yep.
you know, you would think.
You would think.
But no.
But no.
Like Raven, how old is Raven's my
24,
age?
I think.
Yeah. They're all pretty much 24, 25.
But they all look so old. Not old, but like mature.
Yeah.
It's just so confusing. I hope this investigation has cleared up a lot of your concerns.
They do look like mature on TV, but I remember when we met Corinne, like then when we met her in person, she looked her age. She looked like different. She just was so tiny.
Yeah, but we met her in like a very specific context. Like we were at like a pregame. She was drinking out of a red cup. But she looked like a 22-year-old.
She
Whereas
was so
on
tiny.
The Bachelor, you get dressed in a gown. Like you don't look like a 22-year-old.
Yeah. I couldn't get over like how
small
tiny
she was.
Her face was.
She was, I'm obsessed with
like,
her.
Like if you watch a show, you wouldn't think she had a tiny face.
No, not at all. Or as short as she is. She's like just petite in general.
Yeah.
And so fucking cool.
So cool.
Oh, we have to hang out
with
her again.
Her.
I miss her. I actually just spoke to her. She's not going to be in New York for a while. So like that doesn't help us.
She's in Canada a lot. What's going on?
Canada is like a weird place where they're, not that it's weird. Anyone who's listening is from Canada. They are just like obsessed with American culture. Like they have all the people from Vanderpump Rules always doing like weird meet and greets. They always have people from The Bachelor. I think they're just obsessed with like American media.
I mean, I don't blame them.
Me neither. Justin Trudeau and that.
Maybe
big
we
ass.
Should move to Canada so our obsession with American culture is like
it's
more
appreciated.
Accepted.
Our podcast would do so good
in Canada. I mean, you could just release it in Canada.
Actually, I think it's available in Canada and all the other countries in the world where free speech isn't banned.
That's
okay.
good.
That's a great way to end it. That's our Bachelor investigation closed. Ooh, ow. Jackie, as always, such a pleasure to have you. Your expertise is just so greatly appreciated.
Thank you. I like to pride myself on never forgetting a single thing that's happened and then using it in any given situation.
You're an encyclopedia of knowledge.
I'm an encyclopedia of bachelor
of
knowledge.
Useless knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, extremely useless.
Yeah. What's what's the polygraphic formula? What is that one?
Excuse me?
The one with the triangle?
E equals MC squared?
No. You did it in math where you would find the length of one side of the triangle.
Oh, like tan cosine.
Jackie's going to stick around for the rest of the episode because we have so much to talk about.
We really do.
But something really pressing that I've just been like been inundated with on social media is my night out with, actually, sorry, our
Thank
night
you.
Out as a Bravo celebrity. Basically what happened was I went to Watch What Happens Live, which was an experience, and I recommend everyone go, even though it's basically impossible to get tickets. And it was great. Shep and Sheena were on, and I met Shep before because he's a girl with no job and boy with no job fan, whatevs. He was really lovely, very sweet, and I never met Sheena before because we've only had one interaction, and that was on Twitter where I basically said she got a facelift, and she didn't take to that well, which I understand, you know?
Yeah.
Things
Those are
happen.
Some fighting words.
Yeah, things happen. And so I was like nervous that she was going to remember this Twitter fight and like was feeling really awkward. So I just did not say hi to her. And then after the show, I was going home and found out that like all the Bravo peeps and some Bachelor people were going out. And I was perplexed. I was like, I have to go. Ben wouldn't go with me. I know they were meeting at the Gansevoort Hotel. And I was like, I got to go. So I FaceTimed Jackie.
And I am in bed, already did my face mask, lights off, alarm set. My phone is face down on silent. Claudia FaceTimes me. I must have seen the light peeking out from under the phone. So I pick it up and she was like, Sheena, Shay, and The Bachelor.
Not Shay.
Oh my gosh.
Shep.
Sheena, Shep. Oh my, so many shs.
So I basically convinced Jackie to go out with me.
I literally got ready in 20 minutes, record timing, and I looked so cute. Pliny vibes,
yeah,
AF. I looked like Patricia Altschul.
Yes, good one. So Jackie came, thank God. But I was more downtown, so I left before her and met everyone at the Gansevoort. And everyone was waiting in the lobby, kind of deciding where to go. And Carl, Hot Carl from Summer House was there. Olivia Creed from The Bachelor.
Steven
from Summer House. Everyone was there, and they were, like, deciding where to go. And they decided to go to Brass Monkey in Meatpacking, which was an especially iconic place for me because, if you don't know, it's the same bar where Kelly Bensimon and Bethany Frankel had their iconic battle where Kelly Bensimon was like, I'm up here, and you're down here. I'm down here. Why is that? Says Bethany. You know the scene. Google it if you don't.
And if you don't, then you're not our target demo.
How did you stumble upon this podcast? Okay, so I got there first, and at first it was like a little awkward, just like a merging of a random group of people. Thank God Jackie arrived, and we like kind of hit it off with everyone.
We were really hitting it off with Chef. He was really nice and friendly.
Yeah.
And not that Chyna wasn't at first, but because we hadn't breached that hello barrier, we were just like hanging around Chef, which was just more comfortable.
And he was really sweet, and he's actually very smart, very nice guy.
Very chatty. Many stories to tell. Mm-hmm. He, like, spilled some tea.
But we can't spill it.
Yeah, no, not anything that you guys, like, need to know, but he was just, like, happy to talk about the show, talk about his experiences.
Yeah. And then when Stephen McGee from Summer House was there, who's actually, like, a good friend of mine, he was talking to Chyna, and I was like, okay, here's a great opportunity for me to introduce myself to Chyna. Just as Claudia, not as Girl With No Job. She'll remember my name as the girl on Twitter who said she had a facelift, who called her Jocelyn Wildenstein. So I go over to...
By the way, if you don't know who Jocelyn Wildenstein is, Google her right now.
Yeah, I basically called Chyna that. So I go over to Stephen, and I'm like, hi, Stephen, so good to see you. And I'm like, hi, I don't think we've met, Chyna. I'm Claudia, this is my sister Jackie. And she was like, hi guys, so nice to meet you. She was so nice and sweet. And then Stephen goes, yeah, this is Girl With No Job. And I was like, Stephen, shut the fuck up. And all Chyna was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, you're so funny. And I was, okay, cool. And from that moment on, me and Chyna and Jackie were like a dynamic trio, and we're best friends. She's so cool. She's really funny.
She is so funny. She was saying stuff. I don't know if we were just like laughing really hard, but she was making us laugh.
Yeah, she was being a jokester.
She was being a jokester.
I was a big fan. She really is very different than she comes off on the show. On the show, she kind of comes off as like a little weenie, I think. But she's very funny, and she has a strong personality, and I think she's great. Yeah. And after meeting her and then watching the reunion, I think I watched it with a different lens.
I actually watched the reunion right before we went out with her, and it made me more excited to meet her because I thought she handled herself so well on the reunion. We'll get into the reunion in a little bit and our thoughts. We just want to finish out the night. But no, the Chyna that we saw on the reunion is really the Chyna that we went out with.
Yes.
She really, I feel like, has come full circle, mm-hmm. like has her shit together, you know, cut the fat literally out of her life, the fat being Shay Shay.
Yeah.
And just has this really exciting life, and I'm really happy for her.
Hot Carl was there too. He was actually really nice. Actually, something really funny happened. We were deciding where to go when we were sitting in the lobby of the Gansevoir, and he suggested this bar that I will not say the name of. And he was like, you guys want to go to this place, blank? And I was like, actually, I've been there twice in the past week, and it smells like they have a fragrance problem. It smells fresh plumbing, and I don't want to go there. And he's like, and everyone was laughing, and he's like, you know, I'm an investor in that bar. And I was like, what? I didn't even know you could be an investor in a bar. I thought you could only be an investor in like a tech company.
Right.
And I was just like, sorry, Carl. Like, we didn't really get off on the wrong foot.
I think I know which bar you're talking about because, it has a distinct smell.
No. Okay. So I know which one you're thinking of. It's very similar. It's by the same owners, but it's brand new.
Maybe it's just the owner's smell.
No, it's terrible.
We can tell you it's not Carl that smells because
And Carl's very tall.
Everyone who is like a Bravo celebrity bachelor person is tall. Chef. So we'll never be famous because we're actually midgets.
Now I know why we haven't been offered a Bravo show, because we're short.
We're too short for TV.
Should we jump into the reunion?
Yes.
Do you have anything else you want to add about the night?
No, I just want to say, big fan of Chyna. It can't be understated.
I think I'm more so a big fan of her because I didn't have very high expectations. Like, when I met Stassi, I was like, she's going to be amazing. And she was.
And she was amazing. She was actually more amazing than we thought she was going to be. But the bar was so high that, like, the level that she reached, it wasn't so unexpected.
But so with Chyna, I really didn't have that many expectations because she comes off a little, like, blah, you know? But she's actually really funny and has a good personality and really likes her boyfriend. They're very cute.
Yeah, she couldn't stop talking about him.
Yeah, it was really cute.
It was really all very cute.
Okay, so rolling into the reunion, initial thoughts.
Initial thoughts. I just love this group of people together. Mm-hmm. Like, they could literally be talking about salad dressing and I would be like, so Caesar or balsamic.
And isn't it interesting how it's the first time they did it out of Sur?
Yeah, because the cast really is growing. Mm-hmm. And because there's so many people, it's really crazy how as much as they get away from Sir, like the show is still Vanderpump Rules. And like, unless you've worked at Sir, you will never be a full-time cast member.
That's very true.
You know?
Yeah, even, yeah, Brittany. Yeah, she works there.
Mm-hmm.
She,
but like that, the other girl that they're friends with, Rachel O'Brien, like I think that's why she's not on the show because she has no association with Sir or Lisa Vanderpump.
Looks wise, which looks were you feeling and which were you not? Because I can say that I absolutely love, love, love Brittany Cartwright, but that dress was horrendous. It was just so unflattering.
I know. Honestly, I think Brittany would do well to be styled by Stassi because Stassi knows how to dress like a big chested woman. Mm-hmm. And I think that they should work together.
That's a very interesting point.
Maybe like I'll tweet it at Stassi.
Yeah. Who did you think looked the best?
I think everyone, no one looked glaringly bad, which is always what happens at reunions. People try to pull new looks and like it's horrible. Like Tamra Judge comes in with bangs.
God, yeah.
You know, it's all bad news. But I thought, I mean, Lala is just gorgeous.
Yeah, except her lips.
Yeah, she needs to stay inside the lines.
Yeah.
Ariana looked great. No one really looked like A plus. Everyone was like a solid A, A minus. I always like what Stassi's wearing, but I wasn't crazy. Like, because everything is really filmed from the shoulders up, you really need to have great hair, great makeup. And I think she was wearing like a low pony.
And she wasn't wearing like a lot of extensions. Like, she didn't have full hair.
Yeah. So if the focus was like on her hair and makeup, like I just thought it could have been taken up a notch. I thought Katie looked good.
Right. That was my next question for you. So Katie basically copied what Kim Kardashian wore to the VMAs, but like, obviously not. What was like, I think Givenchy. It was just, and she wore it the same exact way with the right shoulder off the shoulder. What is your opinion on that?
My opinion on the execution was that she looked nice.
Yeah.
When people put her and Kim next to each other, it really just looks like the poor man's version of the look.
Yeah, like I happen to think she looked good, but I think conceptually, like, it's just a little bizarre to copy the exact look, exact dress, exact trend. You know what I mean? But she looked good.
Yeah, she looked good.
Okay.
And I thought Sheena looked good. I'm really liking her short hair.
Same.
Because I have short hair and I've been through like all the lengths of short hair and like I've tried waves. I do straight now. Like just so many different versions of it. I feel like I'm an expert on this matter and I would have liked to see less waves in her hair.
Okay.
Like the way that she looked on Watch What Happens Live that night, I liked more. But even still, it was a little too... I don't know. There needs to be a place in between what she wore on Watch What Happens Live and what she wore on the reunion for her hair to wave.
And so there's obviously a clear, what's the right pronunciation? Chasm? Chasm?
Schism.
Schism. Okay, neither. There's a schism in the group and it's the classic Katie, Kristen.
The Witches of WeHo.
Yep. Katie, Kristen, Stassi. And then it's like Tom Sandoval, Sheena, Lala.
Let's do girls versus girls. It's Katie, Kristen, Stassi.
Ariana, Sheena, sort of Lala.
Yeah. And as much as I love Stassi, I will fight for her till the death. And I think as much as on the show she comes off as on the wrong side of history, I think that in life she's usually pretty right. With all of that said, I am leaning towards the Sheena, Ariana, Lala side. They seem like they're just no drama.
No drama. And not even that. Like, I want to think that Chris and Katie Stassi are right because they're fun and they're cute and I like their friendship and it's cute. But like ethically, they're wrong.
I agree. And at a certain point, yes, like what Lala has done is bad, but it's called forgiveness and moving on. And Stassi, if you can forgive Kristen for sleeping with your boyfriend, you can forgive Lala for dressing and acting slutty.
You can forgive anyone. And this is the thing. At the crux of the argument, Lala's wrong. She did like... But you have to think back to day one.
They were so mean to her. And it's only because she is so pretty. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there has to be something wrong with her.
Yeah.
They started it completely. So when she retaliates, she doesn't even need to apologize for that.
No.
They went below the belt by like tarnishing her name.
Right. Even though she totally is dating a married man.
For sure. But it's not even about the married man stuff. And by the way, I don't care if she's dating a married man or not. Because at this point, his wife... clearly knows. If I know who the married man is, his wife knows.
What's his name? Randall Emmett, right?
Yeah, that's the rumor. That's the rumor that she's dating Randall Emmett. If his wife knows and everything's fine, then you know what?
That's
your fucked up relationship and it's none of my business.
I totally agree. I do think that it was taken a little too far when it came to like the Katie body shaming because she was getting choked up at the reunion and I really did feel bad for her.
Yeah, I felt bad for her when she was getting choked up. But once you go below the belt... In general, that's it. It's a free-for-all. So you can't be like, oh, well, I said this and you said this. This is worse.
Right. She opened
the
door.
All bad.
She opened the door.
You opened the door to be insulted and you have to be really fucking confident and cool with everything that people are going to sling at you if you want to go be an asshole.
That's an extremely fair point.
So.
My question for you is, what is your thoughts on the validity of the rumor about Brittany and Kristen doing each other?
My thought on this is that more often than not, where there's smoke, there's fire, and it happened.
I completely agree.
And I understand why Brittany would deny it. I think she should continue to deny it. And Jax sucks for bringing it up on the show. But yeah, it's just one of those situations. It totally happened, but keep denying it.
Right.
Don't ever admit to it.
Never.
So.
And like, even them admitting that they made out is an admission of guilt because.
Yeah, the whole thing is smelly.
Yeah, I agree.
Literally.
Smells like fish. James Kennedy. Kind of like a comedian.
Kind of a jokester.
Yeah, and when he got on the floor and imitated Stassi as crawling back from New York, he's totally right.
He's totally right, but what made me like Stassi even more was that she was cracking up yes. over it, and she did not get defensive, which was just a cool move.
That's the thing with this whole group. Nobody is right about everything. So as long as you're able to own your shit and be like, yeah, I talked shit about you. Yeah, I called you fat. Yeah, I said I wanted to fuck your husband in front of you. Like, you have to be able to own it and apologize for it in order to have other people apologize to you. And that's my issue with Chris and Katie Stassi. They don't take ownership for anything. And the fact that Katie said sorry, which really seemed genuine, was surprising.
Yeah. I mean, after they filmed the reunion, you could tell on Snapchat and Instagram, like, everyone was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It seems like now they're not because Ariana and Lala, like, called Stassi a racist on television and on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously things have gone to hell. And Sheena hangs out with Lala and goes to the gym with her and goes on PJs, private jets, and goes skiing with her. So, like, some shit's going down. And they start filming presumably in May if they get picked up for another season. So I am so excited to see what happens because it feels like a boiling pot of tension.
You know, it is. But Sheena did say on Watch Weapons Live that as far as she knows, her and Stassi are okay.
No, Sheena's like okay with everyone, but she can only toe this line in the middle for so long. And once they start filming, I think it's all going to come to a head. And I think something that viewers have been worried about, and I'm sure the cast members are worried about, is like they're all sort of aging out of like this drunken debauchery age. People are getting married, people are getting engaged, and like how much longer are they gonna have what to do and what to say and like drama to fill the episodes?
How much longer can you be a waiter at 40 who gets drunk during the day?
Right. And like as much as I'm sure they can continue doing that, like they need to keep it new and fresh. And these shifting dynamics between the friendships really is interesting. So I think season six, is that what's coming up?
Yep.
Is going to be interesting. And I also want to make a call that Stassi has been taking a backseat this season and the season before because she's still trying. She's on her rainbow tour of apologies. And I think that next season, we're going to see season one Stassi again.
From your mouth to God's ears.
I'm telling you, this is my prediction. Mark my words.
Something I really want to talk about is pride. Because I'm so shocked. I literally paused my TV because they cut such an important scene of the text from Katie. You know what I'm talking about? I paused the screen and I literally had to read her text. I'm shocked, first of all, that they cut it. I guess they didn't want to make the episode about that because it was a great episode and it brought a lot of light to a really important issue. But I was just floored that this text, basically, the context was Katie decided to stay home on Pride Day, which she's entitled to, but a couple of people decided to go to the they decided to serve pride. They decided to, like, get involved with the community to show that terrorists don't win, which is a great message, by the way.
100%. I would have been there.
100%. And, like, Lisa Vanderpump's right. Like, nobody had to be there. But if you weren't, you're an asshole. No gunman was coming for you.
You're not an asshole for not being there. Like, it's, like, understandably, you're scared and, like, you don't want to celebrate on a day where such tragedy has happened. But, like, that's the first stage of grief. And then you get to, but fuck that shit. We're going to celebrate.
Yeah.
And we're going to dance in, even though we're sad.
Yeah.
And they just didn't get there.
Yeah, Pride made me really, really like Tom Sandoval.
Oh, my God. That Pride episode made me love Jax, too.
Yeah, when Jax Tom and Sandoval Brittany. Cried and then got up and went to Pride. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I was living for Tom
and
Sandoval.
And Ariana.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I used to be such, like, a hater of this. But now I think they're winning.
Who?
I used to really not like... Ariana, Tom, like the boys.
No, I'm telling you, there's a shift. And I think next season, these underdogs have gotten stronger. They're going to get stronger. And they're really becoming a worthy enemy for the witches of West Hollywood.
I think they need to be taken down, honestly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
No, me too.
It's because they have Ariana now, who's a voice of reason.
Yeah,
she's
really
leading
is.
Them. She's like not... She's not on the front lines, but she's like the general in the back room, like speaking into a microphone, telling them
really
what to do.
It would really, truly behoove Stassi to get along with Ariana.
She's trying, though. But it's too little too late.
Yeah.
And here's my original theory. When Stassi was on the outs with Katie and Kristen, remember?
Yes,
last season?
Yeah.
I wish that she had taken the approach not of apologizing to them, but of becoming friends with Ariana and Lala. I would have loved to see that friendship, and then Katie and Kristen just would have been an easy takedown.
No, totally.
And but I'm obviously like not understanding the complexities of true friendship because I'm not in their position, and this is just me as a viewer judging their friendships. I don't know anything, but you know, it just would have made for good television.
But back to Pride. The text, the text that Katie had basically sent Tom Schwartz about Tom Sandoval, Ariana, and Jax is that it's so inappropriate of them to be like dancing on tables and pouring drinks down people's throat when this great tragedy has happened. Which like she totally like missed the point.
Yeah,
it's not like they're getting drunk because of the tragedy.
Yeah,
they're getting drunk in spite of the tragedy.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're not getting. Yes, exactly.
That really was like a disappointing moment for me when it came to Katie.
I completely agree, and it just made me love that crew even more.
Yeah.
And because imagine in that moment where you're already questioning, like, should I go? Should I not? Am I doing the right thing? And you get a text that's like condemming your decision. Like that would just make you feel so shitty.
Self-conscious.
But then again, it's from Katie. So you probably think you're doing the right thing if she doesn't agree.
The rest of the episodes for the reunion look amazing. I'm extremely, extremely, extremely excited to see Mike Shay.
Oh my God. I cannot wait.
Andy said, and I've heard him say this twice now on Watch Happens Live, that it is the most uncomfortable, awkward, terrible situation to be in, and I just can't wait.
I'm going to make a call now. I think it might be a letdown a little bit, and I think it might be awkward and uncomfortable because he won't say anything.
Right, he's very shy.
Yeah, and so it's just silence, not like he's spewing shit that's awkward and uncomfortable to hear. It's like he's not saying a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that he was forced to come. I don't think he was a contracted, like, quote-unquote character. So he could have not gone, I think. Like, Adrienne Maloof, when she didn't show up for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she got fined because she's a contract. Mike Shay is not a cast member. He's not even in the opening title.
You don't know that, though. Like,
that's just my prediction.
Yeah.
I really don't think he had to be there.
Like,
Lala,
yeah, but maybe
she escaped. She literally left the show, but she's contracted, so she had to come to the reunion.
Yeah, and also she probably wants back in.
Do you think so?
I pray,
too. She really did add a lot of pizzazz.
She really did, and she's just, like, so pretty. She's like stupid pretty, you know?
Yeah, she's so pretty.
And it's weird because I follow her on Snapchat and Instagram and she posts the worst shit.
I was going
to
say,
like, all you have to do is like stand in front of a white background and take a picture and like people will like it. She finds a way to like post dumb.
No, I really hate following her on Snapchat.
No, I unfollowed her.
With her robe and her G-pen.
And before, like, I was following her like over the winter on Snapchat and it looked like she completely ruined her face with like plastic surgery on Snapchat. But then on the reunion, she looks great.
She looks different every day because I don't think I actually, in my heart, don't think she does lip injections.
No, she does.
She does candy lips.
No, I'm pretty sure she does lip injections because I'm pretty sure I heard her talk about it with Brandi Glanville on her podcast.
Oh, okay. Then I'm speaking.
Yeah, she was like fresh off Botox, she said.
Oh, okay. She does. They all do Botox.
I mean, I would do Botox too if I were on television.
And pushing 40.
And I was important and I was making money.
Yeah. I think they make a lot of money.
Yeah, I hope so. But like they all need, like Tom and Ariana need to move.
They all have to move, but it's like the show is about like waiters and waitresses, even though now they're like full-fledged celebrities.
No, but they can still have a part. They're still going to move into just a nicer apartment.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's an apartment that Tom shared with Kristen, like that's not even about like you need a nicer place. It's like, that's disgusting.
No, Stassi's moved now, I think, three times.
Mm-hmm.
Once with Patrick, then once out of Patrick, and now one more time.
Yeah. In the same building, just a bigger apartment.
Also, can we talk about how Sheena on Watch Happens Live told everyone where Lala lives?
I know.
Like, Andy was like, what's your relationship with...
Don't repeat it now.
She's like, what's your relationship with Lala? And she's like, honestly, like, she was producing music with Mike Shay, which I thought was extremely fucked up, so I confronted her about it. And Lala, like, agreed, and they stopped, and now her and Sheena are like really good friends, and Sheena said on Watch Happens Live, yeah, like we go to the gym together, and Andy's like, what gym do you go to? And Sheena goes, oh, the one in Lala's lobby. She lives in the blank, the name of the building. Like, and
so okay. I guess Lala's moving now.
I guess Lala's dead because someone, she has to have been murdered.
By the way, next time we go to LA, we need to go to that building.
Yeah. What was it called again? We'll talk about it later. Okay. I think we're good for this week's episode. Anything else? Everyone, you can follow me on Instagram, Girl With No Job, and Jackie at Jackie O Problems. We'll be on every morning on our morning show, The Morning Breath, on Facebook and Instagram. If you have any requests, comments, feedback, only positive is accepted, email it to me, Claudia at girlwithnojob.com. As always, your loyalty is appreciated. Ta-ta.
Ciao.